之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年12月5号，星期六。我们非常荣幸地邀请到敬爱的萨迦 Deva 帕布为我们讲述今天的圣典博迦梵歌的早课。感谢大家的聆听 ，Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
Hare Krishna, 中国的奉献者们，大家早上好啊！
Happy Saturday to you.
祝大家星期六快乐。
And welcome to our Bhagavad Gita class.
欢迎大家来参加我们的博迦梵歌的早课。
And we're still on chapter one, just relishing every little drop of nectar flowing from the Bhagavad Gita.
我们现在仍然还在博迦梵歌的第一章的当中，然后珍惜着、享受着梵歌所流露出来的每一滴甘露。
If you somehow or other became stranded on an island, and you were the only person there, and you could only have one book, which book would you choose?
如果假设你要是不知怎的，然后被困在一座孤岛上，然后而你只能够带一本书到那个孤岛上，那么你会带哪本书呢？
Bhagavad Gita, of course.
当然，我们就只能带《博迦梵歌》啦。
So, we're on chapter one. We're kind of getting not at the end, but getting close.
所以我们现在所处的这个进度是在第一章的部分，第一章即将要结束的地方了。
Now, so anyway, before I say anything more about Bhagavad Gita, I guess I'll chant Jai Radha Madhava.
在正式开始上课之前，我先来唱 Jaya Radha Madhava。
Okay. This is, yes, Kartik ended last week.
Kartika 月已经在上个星期结束了。
It's amazing how the years are just going by.
这真的是时间过得太快了。
I'm 70 years old. This body's 70 years old, but I still feel like a little boy. It's very bewildering.
我已经今年都70岁了，然后这个我的这具身体已经70岁了，但是我仍然觉得自己是个小男孩一样，所以真的是很令人觉得惊讶呀。
Okay. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana RajanaYasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja BihariGopi Jana Balava Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Rajana Yamuna Tiravana ChariJaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Gopinanda Hari Hari Bol. Do we have any questions from last week?
Yes, let me count how many.我们来看上星期四的几个问题。 still, six questions.
Oh, Leo?
Yeah, Leo.
Leo. Sounds like Leo.
Yeah, sounds like
Leo. Did you know that right now Saturn and Jupiter are almost aligned with each other?
Yeah. Yes, I'm waiting for that day.
But you don't have a clear sky. You can only see it about, you know, as soon as it becomes dark, it's already going down over the horizon, and it looks like one big star.
Oh, so you can actually see it at your place.
Yeah. We've had pretty clear skies.
Oh, wow, so great. Guru 刚才问我就说他问我知不知道，就是好像现在这个土星跟木星马上就要这个就是这个行进到一起了。然后我说是，我说我在等那一天。然后Guru说的话呢，在他家的那边的话呢，那个天空是非常清朗的，然后非常就是到了晚上就能看到星星，然后特别是在太阳下山的时候，Guru说他就能看到那个土星跟木星的话呢，几乎就是要落在一起了。
So I don't know astrologically what it means, but this alignment happens only once every 800 years.
Yes. 然后顾说，他说他不知道这个木星和土星成合相的话呢，从占星上来看是什么含义，但是他知道就是这种合相是每800年才发生一次。
Yeah, so we'll have to hear from Uddhava Priya Prabhu. Okay, so today we're going to read verse 37 and 38. They're combined together. There's a short purport. And then I think we'll answer questions. I'll say a little something about where we are, in this part of the chapter, and then I'll answer questions.
Okay. 所以我们今天一起来学习佛家梵歌的第一章37到38诗节，然后这两个诗节是连在一起的。然后顾主说他会稍微的讲一讲这个诗节，然后完了以后就来回答上周剩下的问题。
So the way I like to look at this particular section is, the title of the chapter is Vishada Yoga, or the Yoga of Grief, and of course suffering, grief is really what softens us and prepares us or makes us interested in, the absolute truth.
Okay. 所以说我来想要看到佛家梵歌第一章的这一特定部分的一种方式的话呢，那就是通过这个这一章节的梵文的标题叫做 Vishada Yoga， 也就是悲伤瑜伽或叫悲痛瑜伽，然后来了解和理解这一整个章的这一部分。而这个实际上我们所遭受的痛苦，遭受的悲痛，便是在让我们柔软下来，让我们准备好，或者是叫做让我们能够去对绝对真理感兴趣。
Yeah, so when our life is going well, we're just enjoying, and we're not thinking about birth, death, old age, and disease, really.
因此当我们的生活都是一帆风顺的时候，那么我们只是会去享受生活，而不是真的会去思考生老病死。
Of course, the older you get, even if you're a gross materialist, you're going to think about death every now and then. Every time you look in the mirror and see your body has become a prune.
当然就说随着人的这种年纪的增长，然后越发的年老的话呢，即便是对于那些非常粗糙的物质主义者来说，他们都会时不时的去思考死亡，因为每天在人照镜子的时候，看着自己镜子当中的那个样子的话呢，就是变得越来越皱巴巴的，然后肯定就会去想到死亡。
But that's just a brief thought, and then you go on to what's the next enjoyment?
然而的话呢，这种对死亡的这种念头却只是转瞬即逝的，很快马上下一个念头冒出来，就会想着，哎，我接着要去享受什么呢？我想要去体验什么呢？
You know, if we're faced with disease or a death in the family or some very challenging situation where we're really suffering, during those times, we start to question, you know, why am I here? Who am I? What is the meaning of life? Why is this going on?
然而的话呢，当我们去不得不面对面对这种痛苦的时候，面对家庭家人中的某位家人的死去的时候，也就是这些极具挑战的生活状况，那么这些痛苦就会使得我们必然会去质问，就为什么我会在这里？我究竟是谁？我的人生的意义到底是什么？然后为什么这样的事情会发生在我的生活中？
Of course, the real self never suffers.
当然的话呢，真正的自我是从来永远都不会受苦的。
But when we forget ourselves and we're dreaming that we're something else, that dream self is suffering.
而当我们忘记了真正的自我，却是在梦境中认为自己是另外的一个人，那么也就是这个梦境中的我在受着苦。
And then it wants to awaken.
而这梦境中的我就想要醒来。
Even though the dream self can't awaken.
即便这个梦中的我是无法醒来的，无法苏醒的。
That's the paradox.
而这就是一个悖论了。
But anyway, it's our false ego and its suffering that actually brings us to spiritual life and causes us to question the meaning of life and why I'm here.
总之的话呢，正是我们的虚假的自我在遭受着痛苦，正是我们受苦的假我把我们带入到了灵性生活之中，然后使得我们去质问为什么我会在这里，我人生的意义到底是什么。
So we're looking at this first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, observing how Arjuna is experiencing all the stages of grief.
Stages of grief. 因此我们来看着博迦梵歌的第一章，就来去观察下 Arjuna 他是怎样在体验着悲伤或叫悲痛的所有阶段的。
Until he cannot find, you know, he cannot find any way out of his problem.
直到他最终根本就找不到这个出路，找不到解决他的问题的方法。
So it's only when he comes to that point where he can't figure it out himself, then he surrenders to Krishna and asks Krishna to become his teacher.
因此是直到最终他到达这样一个点，也就是他根本都无法靠自己找到解决方法的时候，于是他向 Krishna 臣服了，请求 Krishna 成为他的老师。
So as we're reading this first chapter, we want to identify with Arjuna and his grief, and then look at our own life and see where we are.
因此的话呢，在我们阅读第一章的过程中，我们就应该来确认一下Arjuna 和他所遭受的这样一个痛苦究竟是怎样的，然后我们再来观察自己的生活，看看我们所处的这样一种状态究竟是怎样的。
So just briefly I'll mention the stages of grief.
好，现在我就来简短的说一下这个悲伤或叫悲痛的阶段是些什么。
And now these stages, you know, they can come and go. They don't necessarily come in order.
而这些悲伤的阶段的话呢，是可能它是不会按照顺序出现的。就有些时候可能是其中的一个阶段突然间就冒出来了。
Yeah. So when we face a loss or you know something happens that we really don't want and we're suffering, first we just can't believe it.
因此当我们在遭受着某种失去或者是发生了某一件让我们根本就不想发生的事情，或者是当我们在受苦的时候，首先第一个阶段便是我们根本无法相信这会发生在自己身上。
For example, you get fired from your job.
就比如说如果你被老板解雇了，然后你失去了工作。
Or your wife or husband leaves you for another man or woman.
或者你的丈夫和妻子，由于另一个人、第三者的原因啊，离开了你。
Or a dear friend and relative suddenly dies.
或者你的一位好朋友、你的一位亲人突然间去世了。
Or you go to the doctor and he says you have cancer and you got 3 months to live.
或者你去去了医院，医生告诉你你得了癌症，只有三个月的寿命了。
So common reaction is, oh, I don't believe it. This can't be happening. You know, not to me.
因此的话呢，人的这种普遍的反应都是，这就我根本就无法相信这是真的，这不可能会发生在我身上。
Then we often feel hurt and angry.
并且往往我们会感到很愤怒，感到很受伤。
And then we often become very, very sad.
然后我们也会变得，往往也会变得非常的悲伤。
And then we start looking for some way that we can reverse the situation.
然后的话，我们就会寻找某种方式来逆转整个这个事情。
That's called bargaining.
而这个找到方式来逆转整个事情的话，我们把这称作叫做讨价还价。
Just like Trump is doing right now, he can't believe that he lost the election. He's trying to find some other way that he can still win.
就正像美国现在的这个特朗普，然后特朗普根本就无法相信自己在竞选当中失败了，然后于是他在寻找各种方式，然后想要再次的赢得这个选举。
So why am I mentioning this? Because right now in this section of the Gita.Arjuna is giving different arguments of why he should not fight.
那么为什么我会提到这一点呢？就是因为在《薄伽梵歌》进展到目前的这一个部分的话呢，刚好就是 Arjuna 在提出各种各样不同的论点来论证为什么他不应该去战斗。
And he's just speaking to Krishna as a friend.
而他这个时候是像朋友一样的来跟 Krishna 交流他的想法。
So initially he was experiencing grief and he was in denial and his body was shaking, he was stressed out. But now he's starting to think about the situation and he's starting to bargain.
Okay, bargain. 因此的话呢，最开始当 Arjuna 他遭受到这种巨大的这种痛苦的时候，他是处在一种否认的状态中，他的身体在颤动着，然后他的弓箭从手里滑落下来，然后他完全的就是被这种压力给压倒了。然后接着的话呢，他就开始在思考这个状况，然后此时他就进入到了这个讨价还价的阶段。
Now because he's a Kshatriya, he knows actually there's no way out of this battle.
由于他是一位刹帝利，因此他知道，他是不可能能够找到这个出路，能够离开，能够从这场战争当中离开得了的。
But he hasn't. You see, the end to grief is when you accept things as they are and you no longer resist.
Sorry, Gumaji, the way to end the grief?
Well, you come to the grief will end, your suffering will end, when you finally accept whatever the situation is and you're no longer resisting it.
Oh, okay. 而要使得我们所遭受的痛苦最终得以终结的方式，那就是我们能够真正的去接受，如其所示的接受这些状况。而不再去继续抗拒了。
Right. I lost my job. Okay, I'll get another.
好吧，那我确实没了工作了。那我现在努力再去找另一份工作吧。
My wife left me. Okay, I forgive her. I'm gonna move on.
好吧，我的妻子离开了我，那我就原谅她，然后我再继续的开始我人生的下一个篇章。
I got cancer, I'm going to die. Okay, I better get ready.
好吧，那我都得了癌症了，即将要死去了，那我就好好的来准备迎接那一刻吧。
Now, we may not be happy about a situation, but the suffering comes when we resist, and it ends when we accept.
因此的话，我们可能对发生的状况并不感到快乐，并不感到这种对，因此我们可能对发生的状况并不感到快乐。但是的话，我们所遭受的痛苦来临的时候，是由于是当我们在抗拒这些状况，痛苦便来临了；而当我们接受这些状况的时候，痛苦便终止了。
Yeah, so right now, Arjuna hasn't accepted that he has to fight.And he's still looking for a way out, and he's giving some good arguments.
而现在故事进展到这里，而朱娜仍然还没有去接受这个状况，然后他在寻找一种方式能够得以这种逃离这样的一种状况，并且他也给出了非常好的论点。
So the last verse we read together was 36.
我们上一次读的诗节是36诗节。
And he said, you know, technically speaking, if we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, there's no sin because they're aggressors.
Arjuna said those things, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 所以说在上一个诗节当中的话呢， Arjuna 就说到，严格来说，如果我们杀死 Dhritarashtra 的儿子们的话，那么是不会引发罪恶的。为什么呢？因为他们是进犯者。那么进犯者的话呢，就说是去杀死他们的话呢，被处死是不会引发罪恶的。
Yeah, so according to the Manu Samhita, there are six kinds of aggressors, and if you kill the aggressor, if you're trying to protect yourself and you have to kill the aggressor, there's no sinful reaction for that.
所以说根据 Manu Samhita 来看，这个根据这个 Manu Samhita 当中所记载，进犯者分为六种，而如果为了自保而杀死了这些进犯者的话，那么是不会引发罪恶的反应的。
Yeah, so if somebody give you poison,
所以如果有人要是给你下毒，
right, or somebody tries to, you know, poison the reservoir of water, you know, that goes to give everyone water in the town.
或者是如果一个人试图要是给一个小镇的这些水库下毒的话，
or somebody who sets fire to your house.
或者有人要是把你的家都给点燃了，就给放火的话，
someone who attacks you with deadly weapons.
或者是有人用致命的武器来伤害你的话。
Somebody who invades your house and steals all your money.
然后或者是有人入侵你的家园，把你家所有的这些财富呀，然后财产这些东西全部给偷走的话。
And somebody who occupies your land, takes your land away.
或者是有人侵占你的土地。
Or somebody who kidnaps your wife.
或者是有人绑架了你的妻子。
You can kill that person.
那么你可以杀死这个人。
But then Arjuna says, you know, if we, even though, you know, we have a right, you know, to kill our relatives, still there are relatives, and if I kill my relatives, I won't be happy.
而即便如此， Arjuna 仍然说到，即便我们有权利来杀死这些亲人，但是的话呢，他们依然是我的亲人，而杀死这些亲人的话呢，是并不会让我快乐幸福的。
So now today we're going to read 37 and 38. So look at this verse through the lens of vishada or grief, and just notice the stage of grief that Arjuna is at.
Okay. 好，我们现在就一起来阅读一下37到38诗节。当我们阅读的时候，请通过这个悲伤的这种角度来阅读整个诗节。那么去注意一下Arjuna他是处于这个悲伤的哪一个阶段呢？
And also consider what has happened in your life up until this point, that you're still very, you're still suffering over because you haven't been able to accept it and move on.
然后并且的话呢，也回顾一下到目前为止发生在你生活当中的所有的这些 事情，你目前所处的这样一种状态，然后思考一下，那么你之所以会受苦，正是由于你还仍然没有去接受所发生的一切，仍然难以去翻篇，难以去继续的去过自己的人生。
Right, you're still resenting that person. You haven't been able to forgive.
你仍然还在怨恨那个人，仍然还没有，还无法去原谅、宽恕那个人。
You haven't come to acceptance.
仍然还没有到达接纳。
Okay, so 37 and 38.
好，我们来一起看着37到38节。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya。
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 Yajna Yete Napashyanti Lobo Pahata Chetasa。Kula Shaya Kritam Dosham Mitra Drohe Cha Patakam Katam Nageyam Asmabi Papad Asman Nivartitum Kula Shaya Kritam Dosham Prapyas Yavir Janardana Yadi。
即便，
阿比，
甚至，
阿德，
他们，
那，
不。
Now we just read the Sanskrit and the word for word, and we're going over the translation and the purport of chapter 1, verse 37 and 38.
对，我们现在刚才讲的是《博伽梵歌》第一章的第37到38节，正在进行字对字。
So I'll read the translation again, and then we'll just translate the purport sentence by sentence. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the translation of text 37 and 38. O Janardan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin?
译文：贾纳尔丹呀，尽管这些人利欲熏心，意识不到杀自己的亲属或朋友争吵有什么错。但我们这些明白毁灭家族，但是我们这些明白毁灭家族有罪的人，为什么要犯这样的罪呢
？Purport: A Kshatriya is not supposed to refuse to battle or gamble when he is so invited by some rival party.
要旨。沙吉利不应该拒绝别人要与他打仗或赌博的挑战。
Under such an obligation, Arjuna could not refuse to fight because he had been challenged by the party of Duryodhana.
那因为 Arjuna 他是一位沙吉利，那因为他被 Duryodhan 这边呢发起了挑战，所以呢他是不应该拒绝的。
In this connection, Arjuna considered that the other party might be blind to the effects of such a challenge.
因为在此时呢 ，Arjuna 他可能觉得，杜尔丹那边他是，就是他对于这样的一种挑战，他是处于一种很目盲的一种状态。
Arjuna, however, could see the evil consequences.And could not accept the challenge.
但是尔柱呢，他是能够看到这里面有非常邪恶的结果会导致的，所以说呢，他就不能够接受这样的挑战。
Obligation is actually binding when the effect is good, But when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound.
那就如果要是这个结果是好的的话呢，那么这个责任是是捆缚在一起的。但如果是这个责任如果是不好的话呢，那也就意味着这个责任是 ，sorry, Mark, you're saying that the obligation is kind of binding if the effect is good, but the obligation is not cannot be bound if the effect is not good.
Right. I'm just reading the purport.
Oh, Arjuna 认为对方可能看不到这种挑战的结果，但他却能看到这种挑战所带来的不良后果，因此不愿意接受这挑战。结果好才必须要履行义务，总之谁都不能履行义务。
Considering these pros and cons, Arjuna decided not to fight.
那尔朱呢，他权衡了利弊之后呢，就决定不作战。
That's the end of the purport.
到此结束。
Om Agnate Mirandasya Gunjana Salakaya Jaksu Militam Yena Tasman Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pastitya Adishitarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasani Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpataribhyascha Kripasindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
So Arjuna is giving some reasonable reasons, right? Good reasons for not fighting in this battle.
所以尔朱呢就提出了一些很合理的一些原因，他为什么不参加这场战争，为什么不作战。
That normally if a kshatriya is challenged to fight, he has to accept the challenge.
那通常来说呢，当一位沙利利他被挑战了之后呢，他是应该接受这场战争的。
So this is a general, you know, Kshatriya principle.
那所以呢，这是普遍的沙利利的原则。
But it is not an absolute principle, it's a relative principle.
但是呢，这并不是一个绝对的原则，这是一个相对的原则。
As Prabhupada mentions in the purport, if ultimately you have to consider the result of what's going to happen if you fight.
就像说 Prabhupada 在要旨里面所提到的那样，通常来说呢，你总是要想这个结果。那么在这个打仗之后，它会产生一个什么样的结果？
Yeah, so in this case, the result of this battle will be that pretty much the whole family is destroyed.
那所以说这场战争的结果呢，很有可能导致的是整个家族的毁灭。
That means the families of thousands of Kshatriyas.
那也就是说呢，是一个有着成千上万的沙地利的家庭的毁灭。
So Arjuna, his point is that Duryodhana and those fighting with Duryodhana, they're aggressors because they're trying to take land that doesn't belong to them.
但是呢，这个 Duryodhana 他们 ，sorry, could you say that again?
They're aggressors. They could, you know, technically they could be killed because they're aggressors, and they're aggressors because they're stealing land that doesn't belong to them.
那多尔丹呢，其实他们是进犯者，那他之所以是进犯者，就是他们在偷窃那些本不该属于他们的土地，所以呢他本来就是该杀的。
And of course they're stealing land because they're greedy.
但是他们偷窃土地的原因呢，是由于他非常的贪婪。
But he doesn't see that that's not a good reason to kill them, even though they're greedy.
但是呢，他并不觉得这虽然是他们的贪婪，但是呢，就是可以杀掉他们的原因。
Because if we kill the sons of Duryodhana and all the people that support them, then that would have a very negative effect upon the whole society.
因为如果要是杀死了杜尔坦以及所有的杜尔坦的拥护者的话，那其实是会给整个这个社会造成一个很负面的影响的。
So Arjuna is trying to balance, you know, these different considerations or pros and cons.
对呢，尔朱呢，他就在权衡所有的这些不同的状况，这些所有的利弊。
Yeah, so this is, you know, this is actually a good quality.
这其实是一个很好的品质。
Rather than just reacting and doing whatever we want or making some decision without considering the consequences first.
只是根本就不去考虑这个事情会导致的结果，而就这么一味的去做，总比这样要强。
Yeah, so it's very reasonable that before you make an action, you have to consider all the consequences. What are the pros and cons?
对呢，很合理的就是，当你在采取行动之前，你总是要权衡一下利弊，再想一下这样的行动会导致什么样的结果。
So that's one aspect of the picture here.
对呢，这是现在的这个场景的其中的一个方面。
From Arjuna's personal point of view, though, he doesn't want to fight, and he's trying to find reasons not to fight.
但是从尔朱呢，他个人的这个角度来讲呢，他就不想作战，而且呢，他在找各种各样的理由不作战。
Or he's what we call bargaining. If we're looking at the stages of grief, he's looking for some way out. He's bargaining.
或者说，我们如果要是看这个人他处在这个悲伤的这个阶段的话，他现在就处在一个讨价还价的阶段，他就是在想找各种各样的理由。
Yeah, so like I said at the beginning of the class, we should look at our own life and our own grief.
那就像我们在这个刚一上课的时候我讲到的，那我们其实也应该要审视一下我们自己的这些悲伤。
And we should look at our life and look at the areas where we're still suffering.
那我们要看一看我们自己的生活的方方面面，去看一下我们现在依然还让我们很伤心的那些区域。
And we're suffering because we haven't accepted what already is that's beyond our control.
那我们之所以伤心呢，是由于我们现在还没有办法接受那些超乎于我们控制之外的那些方面。
Yeah, we're either angry.
我们要不然就很愤怒。
Sad.
或者悲伤。
We're still thinking if I would have done this or I would have done that, it could have been different.
我们依然还在想，如果我要是这么做或者我那么做的话呢，可能这个情况就不一样了。
We're still blaming ourselves or blaming others for what happened.
我们还依然为发生的这件事情在指责着自己或者是斥责着别人。
Yeah, we haven't been able to accept the reality and let it go.
对呢，我们还没有办法接受现实并且放掉这个情况。
Even in our mind, we have good reason or good arguments why we shouldn't accept it.
Why we should accept it?
We should not. You know,
we
our mind, our ego is.
Yeah.
We should. You know, we should still blame the other person, or we shouldn't accept. That's not right. The ego doesn't want us to accept.
Yeah. 那在我们的这个脑子里面，或者我们的这个假我呢，还在不断的说服我们，就是我还要去斥责这个人，我还要斥责我自己，就是我不能够接受现在这样的一个状态。
So anyway, we can look at this verse. The big picture is Arjuna's grief.
那我们在这个世界里面呢，我们可以看到这个更大的一张图景呢，就是 Arjuna 的悲伤。
And then there's a smaller lesson here.
但是呢，在这里面还有一个更小一点的教导。
That from a relative point of view, Arjuna should fight because he's a Kshatriya.
因为从一个相对的观点来说呢，Arjuna 他就应该作战，原因就是因为他是一位沙帝利。
But he's also not obligated to fight because of the ultimate consequences or the results of the battle. If they're not.
但是呢，他并没有义务作战的原因是由于这场战争最后所导致的这个结果是不好的。
So he's saying personally, I'm not greedy.
所以说呢，他说个人来讲也不同意。
Right, and the Pandavas they tried to settle, you know, this dispute, and they said, look, just give us a little small piece of land, and you can have the rest of the kingdom, and we won't protest. We'll accept that.
那其实他们之前在进行的这个讨论里面呢，他们就说，你看，就这个Pandava他们对这个Duryodhana的条件就是，您只要给我一小片土地，那我们去管理这片土地就好了。那这样的话呢，我们彼此之间就不会有这样的争执了。
But Duryodhana was so greedy that he wouldn't give them anything.
但是 Duryodhana 却如此的贪婪，所以呢，他哪怕是一点就是一丝毫的土地他都不会给潘德瓦。
So Arjuna had a right to fight, and he had a right, you know, to defeat Duryodhana and get his kingdom back.
所以说 Arjuna 他其实是有正当的这个权利去打仗，并且呢击败 Duryodhana， 然后把他的国家本来属于他自己的国家给争回来。
But because Duryodhana is a family member, they're cousins.
但是由于 Duryodhana 又是他的家人，他们是堂兄弟。
Arjuna is willing to forgive him for his greediness.
所以 Arjuna 呢已经做好了准备，要原谅他的这种贪婪。
And he's willing to give him the kingdom, basically, and not fight.
而且呢，尔朱呢也愿意把这个国王国呢拱手相让，根本就不为这件事情而在作战了。
Because when he considers what will happen if they fight, that basically everyone's the whole family, you know, the dynasty and everyone's family will be destroyed.
因为如果要是看到这场战争如果是进行的话，那也就意味着这个家族里面的所有的人。所有的成员都会被毁掉。
So this seems very reasonable.
所以呢，这看起来好像是特别合理的。
So that's where we are in the story.
所以这就是我们现在所处在的这个故事的阶段。
So next week we'll read verse 39.
然后下一周呢，我们会读第39世界。
And we have some questions to answer from last week, so I'd like to start answering those questions.
因为我们上一周呢还留下了一些问题，所以我现在呢就想先开始回答上一周的问题。那Sumukhi Ramaji，您得把那问题帮我发过来一下。
好的，好的，请稍等。
Marge, please wait for a little while because I need the question to be forwarded by Sumukhi Ramaji.
Yes, thanks.
Sumukhi Ramadaji.用念珠来念诵的这个道理是一样的， 那么就是当你在念诵的时候呢，你要去感受着你手捻动念珠的那个感觉。
Yeah, so the beads are there not just for counting, but also to use your sense of touch to keep your attention focused in the present moment so that you can hear the mantra.
所以说呢，这个念珠它并不仅仅是你念一个数一个的这个意思，还有呢，就是当你在用手去触碰念珠的时候，你能去感受到这个念珠。
Awareness arises. You become aware that you're aware.
You can aware your. I didn't hear the last word you say.
You become aware that you're aware. Awareness becomes aware of itself.
Okay, 那么就是当你处在这种专注的这种状态下的时候呢，你就变得越来越觉知，然后呢，你就能够觉知到你自己。
This is what Prabhupada means when he says that you
differences.Between Yudhishthira and Arjuna, even they have the same, you know, action, not killing the committed, not killing the sinful relative.
Not sure if I really understand his.
Okay.
Okay.
Please, I think this is my problem. I didn't really translate it well. Basically, in China, in the history, that some of the family members, if committed sin, the family will punish him, will even kill him, sentence him in that way. However, to the restaurant,And Arjuna, neither of them want to punish Duryodhana for his sin. But he wants to know what's the different motivation between these two.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if we can compare the situation that Arjuna and Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana are in compared to what happened, you know,with families in China in the past.
就是我不觉得就是在 Duryodhana 还有 Arjuna 以及 Dhritarashtra 他们之间的这种就他们之间所发生的这个事情能够和咱们中国古代的大义灭亲的这样的事情相比较。
But, you know, human beings are imperfect.
但是呢，因为人他本来就是不完美的。
And for the sake of Krishna being able to speak the Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and Arjuna are appearing as normal human beings, normal conditioned souls.
因为 Arjuna 就 Krishna 他讲述这个圣典不加梵歌，他显现出来的呢。Duryodhana 还有 Dhritarashtra 还有 Arjuna 他们所扮演的角色呢都是普通的人的角色。
And so at the basic level, you know, humans have five faults.
那么从基础的层面来说呢，这人他有五种错。
We're ignorant.
我们很愚昧无知。
We're unconscious.
我们是处在无知觉的状态下的。
We're selfish.
我们自私。
We're afraid.
我们害怕。
And we crave to be loved and adored.
而且呢，我们也非常渴望能够被爱以及被欣赏。
Yeah, so these five faults, either all of them or one of them,influence practically every decision and choice we make.
那么就是这五种错呢，它就会影响着我们所做的每一个决定。就这五种错，或者要不然就是一个错，或者要不然就是所有的这些错误，它都会影响着我们所做出的每一个决定。
And therefore, we have laws in society, laws in family.And we have the government, you know, to punish those who don't follow the laws.
所以这样呢，才我们才会有这个 政府的法律，我们有家庭的法律，我们有这个各种各样的法律来惩罚那些没有守法的人。
Yeah, so it keeps the selfishness of the human being in check.
这样呢，就能够控制住人他所展现出来的自私。
Now at the same time, that human beings are at different levels of consciousness. Not every human being is at the same level of consciousness.
但与此同时呢，人他所就不同的人他所处在的知觉的层面也是不一样的。
Yeah, so, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, they're exhibiting the lowest level of consciousness.
Duryodhana 和 Dhritarashtra 他们展现出来的是最低层面的知觉。
Which is called egocentric.
这个被称为叫是以自我以假我为核心的。
Yeah, we do whatever is good for myself and my immediate family, and if it injures others, it doesn't matter.
那我所做的一件事情呢，都是以我自己的利益为核心，或者是和我很亲近的人的利益为核心的。那如果因为这件事情而伤害了其他的人呢，没关系。
Right, might is right.
只要是和我的有相关的，就是对的。
Yeah, so we see that somebody who's in control, like a king, if he's in that consciousness.He does whatever he needs for himself and his family, and everybody else has to suffer.
那所以说，当我们看到出于这种知觉层面的国王，他在做事的时候呢，他就会以他自己和他的家人的利益为中心。那导致的结果就是，其他的人可能就和我信一个教的这样的人，他们才会去到天堂。那信别的教的人，他去不了天堂。
Or my nation is good, but you know, if we kill the other nation, it doesn't matter because only our nation matters.
我的民族是非常好的民族，那我们要消灭其他的民族，这没问题，因为只有我的民族是最优秀的民族。
So that's how we have these different wars, right? And all this, even though the world is becoming very global.There's still a very much a nationalistic mentality in most places.
这也就是为什么我们有各种各样的战争。即便是现在这个世界变得更加的全球化，但是呢，我们依然还是就是处在这样的知觉中，导致了有各种各样的战争的出现。
Yeah. So as the consciousness of the human being evolves, the humans.Perception of others expands.
所以说呢，当人他所处在的不同的这个知觉层面上的时候呢，就是他对其他人的这种感知和认知也得到了扩展。
And then we come to what's called world-centric, that all human beings are equal and deserve to be happy.
那然后呢，我们有一个就是以世界为核心的。这样的一个认知的层面，就是整个的世界的人民都应该是平等的，都应该是快乐的。
And this is starting to develop now, but in the world, there's a few people at this level.
那么，这样的这种理念呢，现在已经在世界范围内开始被培养出来。那有一些人是处在这样的层面上的。
Right, we have to take care of the earth.
比如说呢，我们必须要照顾这个地球。
You know, so if I pollute, you know, if I pollute the ocean, it not only, you know, affects me, it affects everybody else.
如果我要是污染了海洋的话呢，那这不仅仅是会影响到我，而且也会影响到其他的人。
And then eventually, when the human being awakens, he sees that everyone's, you know.A child of God, and everything belongs to God.
那最终，当这个人他得到唤醒之后呢，他就能够看到，其实所有的人都是神的孩子，所有的一切都是属于神的。
So, Arjuna, of course, ultimately, that's his consciousness. But right now, he's not exhibiting that higher consciousness.
那虽然终极来说呢，这一层面的这个知觉，实际上是尔朱呢他所处在的知觉，但此时呢，他并没有展现这样的知觉。
Yeah, so right now, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, they're exhibiting the lowest level of human consciousness, and Arjuna is exhibiting a slightly higher level, but he hasn't manifest Krishna consciousness yet, but he will.
此时呢 Duryodhana 和 Dhritarashtra 他们所处在的是最低的人类的知觉状态下。 Arjuna呢，他处处在的是相对高一些的知觉，但是呢，他还没有展现他的Krishna知觉。但最终来说呢，他是会展现他的Krishna知觉的。Yeah,
so most people that are, you know, have a nationalistic mentality or a sectarian religious mentality, they're, you know, kind of like on the second level of human cognitive development.
那所以说呢，当人他处于民族主义的心态，或者说是宗派主义的心态的时候呢，他其实也就处在这个人类的意识知觉的第二个层面。And
of course, we'll find, you know, in each religion, we'll find all these different levels of consciousness, but the higher consciousness individuals are very few.
但是呢，其实，在所有的这些宗教的，就所有的宗教信仰中呢，全都会有这些不同的知觉的层面，但是呢，处在最高层面的人的数量是非常少的。Okay,
I don't know if I exactly answered your question, but I hope that's okay.
但是我不知道我是不是真的回答了您的这个问题，我希望还是回答了。 So the next question?
Okay.
From Yinian, Hare Krishna, think the 具体含义是什么? This devotee asked what the specific meaning of think.
Think is when you have thoughts.
Think 就是这个, 刚才他的问题就是说这个思考。
I know. She's talking about the acronym.
She's talking about THINK, think.
Yeah, it's an acronym. She's not talking about the word. She's talking about think as an acronym.
Oh, okay. Because she is using all of these small letters. So actually, I do think you answered these questions from your previous
question.
But anyway. Anyway, well, it's good for you to say it again. 就是这位 Maji 他其实想问的就是这个 THINK 它所代表的每一个字所就是每一个这个字母它所代表的意思是什么？Yeah,
so it means, you know, for someone who is a yogi and living in the mode of goodness, he has to control his mind, his speech, and his actions.
那么也就是说呢，当一个瑜伽师，当他处在善良形态的时候，那就意味着他必须要控制着他的心意，要控制着他的想法，然后他要控制着他的话语。And
so Krishna, he defines, you know, this how to control one's speech or austerity of speech.
那所以 Krishna 呢，他就 下了一个定义来告诉我们怎么去控制我们的言语，如何去进行言语的苦行。And
you know, all of you have heard me quote this verse many times.
大家都听到我引述这个诗节，引述了好多次了。So
if we look at chapter 17, verse 15.
如果我们要是看一下国家梵歌第十七章的第十五诗节。
Krishna guides us, or he teaches us about how a devotee should speak.
Krishna, 他在引导我们以及教导我们一个奉献者应该如何谈吐。
Anuvega karam bhaktyam satyam priya hitam chaya. Svajaya yasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting the Vedic literature.
说话的苦行包括说真话令人高兴对人有益的话不说搅乱人心的话有规律的朗读伟达经典。
So our words have consequences for others and for ourselves.
我们所说的话呢对于其他的人以及对于我们自己是会产生结果的。
Even though we don't mean to, sometimes we deeply hurt others and sometimes it wounds them for their whole life.
而且有的时候虽然我们自己并不知道但是我们所说的话呢是会深深的把人给伤了的。而且也许可能我们说的这句话就把人伤了一辈子。Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Did we lose connection?
No, I'm still here. Marge?
Wow. Difficult day.
Marge, can you hear me? Smoking around, Marge. 看起来好像工人已经听不到。Yes, I'm still here. Smoking around, Marge. 听得见吗
？I think we lost Donna Kaylee.
Haribo, 听得见吗 ？Smoking around, Marge.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. Smoking around, Marge, 你在吗？
我都能听得到，亲爱的。
对，但是现在咕噜听不见我这边的声音了。要不然我重新呼一遍。
好的，你们两个我都能听得到。
我再重新呼一遍。Marge, I'm going to call you again. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Hare Bol.
Are we connected? Hare Bol.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Actually, we're always connected, but I can hear you. You cannot hear me just now.
Oh. All right. So what did you do? Like reboot the call?
Yeah. It's kind of spooky, though.
Really? So, anyway, now's okay?
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Okay. So, I'm just thinking that this acronym is a helpful way to remember this teaching by Krishna of austerity of speech.
那么所以说呢，就是这个 think 这个缩写呢，就是可以帮助我们来想着记住 Krishna 关于言语的苦行的关于言语的苦行的教导。
Yeah, so just saying that you know before you say something, take a deep breath.
那就是说呢，在你在讲话之前呢，首先要先深呼吸。
And follow the wisdom of my mother.
我现在是呢在追随我母亲的智慧。
My mother told me, she said, if you can't say something nice, then don't say it.
我的母亲说，如果你要是说不出一些很宜人的话的话呢，那就别说。
Of course, I couldn't follow that instruction, and I.Created a lot of misery for myself and others, which I apologize for.
虽然说，但是呢，其实我并没有很好的去遵循我母亲的这个教诲，所以说呢，我也我自己以及给其他的人造成了很多痛苦。那我也因为这个呢，向大家道歉。
Anyway, so before we speak, we should take a deep breath and pause for a moment.
那所以说呢，在我们在讲话之前呢，我们首先要先深呼吸，然后呢先停顿一下。
And we should consider that what I'm about to say, is it tea? Is it true?
然后呢，我就再想一下，那我马上要说的这个话呢，它是不是真的？就是 tea。
And then we should consider, is it really helpful?
那然后呢，我们要再想想，我说的这话到底是不是有帮助呢？有助益呢？
So that's H, H for helpful.
这就是 H, H 是有助。
And then we should also consider, is it inspiring or encouraging?
那然后呢，我们又在想，我讲的这个话，它是不是能够激励人呢？是不是能够鼓励人呢？这就是爱。
And then maybe most important we should consider, is it necessary? Do we really need to say this?
那然后呢，可能就是我们最需要去考虑的一点，就是我讲的这个话到底有没有必要啊？到底它真的那么重要吗？
So that would be N.
那这个呢，就是 N.
And then finally, we should consider, is it kind?
然后最后呢，我们要考虑，就我们讲的这个话是不是善良的。
Yeah, so, if what we're about to say doesn't fall into these, you know, five categories, then maybe we shouldn't say it.
所以呢，如果要是我们讲的话，如果要是，它不符合这五个条件的话，那这句话我们就别说了。
Of course, this is not easy. This is why it's, you know,Only those who are on the path of self-realization have enough presence to be able to, observe their thought and their senses.
但是其实这并不容易，只有那些走在自我觉悟之途上的，处在当下，就是处在当下的意识状态中的人，他才能够真正的去观察到自己的想法。以及自己的状态。
Yeah, so often our words and our actions are driven by ignorance and selfishness and fear.
那通常来说呢，就是我们的话以及我们的这个就我们所说的这个话或者是我们的这个行动，它是由于我们的害怕或者是我们的愚昧。所驱使着去完成的。
Yeah, we've downloaded our parents' patterns of thinking and speaking and behaving, and we're just unconsciously following these patterns.
那我们的这个想法呀，我们的行为举止啊，那么我们的这个话语啊，那就是在一个不知觉的。这就是在我们的父母的不知觉的影响状态下而影响着我们。
But ignorance is no excuse.
但是我们不能够给无知找借口。
Because there's always results or consequences from what we think, what we say, and what we do.
因为呢，我们的想法、我们的话语以及我们的做法。总是会引起一个后果。
Yeah, fire doesn't care about your motivation. If you touch it, you're going to burn your hand.
比如说这个火，它可不管你的动机是什么，你只要去碰了这个火，火就能把你给点着了。
So the laws of karma, the laws of nature are always active.
所以呢，业报定律还有自然定律，它其实始终都是在运行着的。
Okay, so next question.
From Honey, 顶拜孤乳，如果我们受到他人的批评羞辱，或者受到他人的欺骗、偷盗或伤害，这是因为我们之前曾经这样对待其他人吗？Please accept my humble obeisances.My question is that if we have been criticized by the others or humiliated by the others or have been cheated or stolen from or harmed from by the others. Is that because we have done the same thing to the others, so we got this type of treatment today?
Well, there's a good possibility, yes.
有这种可能。
Because there's no accidents.
因为是没有无中生有发生的。
That doesn't mean that we should let people abuse us.
但是这并不意味着我们就随意的让别人来欺负我们。
But at the same time, we should consider, you know, that there's a high probability that at some time in this life or in a previous life, we caused the same harm to someone else.
但是呢，我们与此同时呢，确实也要想到，就是有极大的这种可能，就是在这一生或者是在前世，我们曾经伤害过其他的人。
Yeah, so it's also an opportunity to become Krishna conscious.
那么这个也是给我们提供了一个让自己变得具有 Krishna 知觉的机会。
And that we can cultivate the attitude of a devotee.
那这样呢，我们就可以培养出作为一位奉献者所应该具备的态度。
Actually, you know, an attitude of gratitude or the attitude of forgiveness, these are actually qualities of the soul itself.
那事实上呢，这个感恩的态度以及容忍的态度，这其实都是灵魂自己本身所具备的品质。
And forgiveness and gratitude actually lead us to liberation, lead us back home, back to Godhead.
就是感恩的品质，还有宽恕的这个品质，它都是把我们引回守神身边的，把我们带回守神身边的品质。
And this is confirmed by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
那这个呢，也由主 Brahma 在《圣典波罗瓦坛》第十篇中给了我们证实。
Do you have the Bhagavatam available to you?
I do.
If you can look up a chapter, canto 10, chapter 14, verse 8.
Canto 10, chapter 14, verse 8. Hold on, I'm getting that. 我们现在看的这十节是《圣典波罗瓦坛》第十篇第十四章的第八十节。
So here, Brahma is saying that.The devotee, he doesn't really blame others for his suffering. He takes responsibility.
那么在这里面呢，主 Brahma 说呢，奉献者他不会由于他的痛苦而去指责别的人，他会为他自己的痛苦负责。
That if someone causes him suffering, he's assuming that previously he caused the same suffering to someone else.
如果要是有人导致了他的痛苦，那他也会想，是因为之前他给其他的人也造成了痛苦。
And he also sees that whatever happens to him ultimately is orchestrated by the Lord himself to purify him.
而且他也说呢，在他身上所发生的这个事情呢，其实是由主所安排，是为了要让他得到净化。
So a devotee who has this kind of mentality.Is actually already liberated and has the right to return home back to Godhead.
那么当一个具备这样的想法的这个奉献者，他已经处在了解脱的层面，而且呢，他已经得到了合法的权利回到守神的身边。
So let's just read this verse.
我们先来读一下这个释节。
Tatena Kampam Sushimichamano Runjanevatmakritam viparkam. Ridvagvapurbir vidadam namaste. Jivetiyo mukti sapadayava. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim.
译文。 我亲爱的至尊主，谁真诚地等待您赐予没有缘故的仁慈，一直耐心地承受自己过去罪行招致的痛苦反应，同时用自己的身心和话语恭敬地向您致敬，谁无疑有资格获得解脱，因为那已成为他的合法权利。Okay,
so next question.
Okay, next question from 楚楚 Mataji. 时间的作用下修Krishna知觉对物质的迷恋会有起伏吗？我前段时间很超脱，近期突然变得迷恋。What she's saying about with the influence of the time, even we are practice Krishna consciousness, we still, you know, have those kind of ups and downs. For the obsessing to the material sense gratification. And actually, a while ago, I was in a quite transcendental platform. However, recently, I began to fall back to the obsession to the material sense gratification again.
Yeah, that's quite normal.
这是挺正常的。
As long as we have this mind and body, we have the urges of the body and the conditioned programs in our mind.
那么因为我们只要有我们的这个躯体跟心意的这个限制，那我们就总是会有身体所发出的催涌，以及呢，就是我们的这个心意它所处在的这种条件限制的状态。
But as we awaken in Krishna consciousness, we start to observe the body and the mind.
但是呢，当我们在修习慧上知觉的时候呢，我们就开始去观察我们的身体和心意。
We're able to observe the urges of the body.
那我们就能够可以得以观察到我们的身体所发出的催涌。
And we're able to observe the story in our mind.
那我们也可以去观察到在我们内心中所讲出的故事。
And at most of the time, then we are, even though we still have a mind and a body, we see that we're different.
那所以说在大部分的时候，虽然我们依然还有同样的这个心意和躯体，但是呢，我们已经能够看出他们之间的区别，就我们和他们之间的区别。
We become like the sky.
这样一来呢，就使得我们好像变得我们自己就像是那天空一样。And
the urges of the body and the thoughts in the mind are like passing clouds.
而这身体的催涌以及心意中的各种想法呢，就好像是天上的浮云。And
sometimes it's a big storm.
那有的时候呢，就会下起倾盆大雨。Of
course, the sky is never affected even by a storm.
但是呢，这天空其实永远都不会被影响的，哪怕是暴雨倾盆。But
still, in our immature stage, you know, sometimes we get lost in the storm.
但是呢，我们因为现在还处在一个没有成熟的阶段。 所以我们有的时候呢，就会让自己迷失在这个暴雨之中。And
of course, when we're lost in the storm, it seems like we're always going to be lost in a storm.
当然，当我们迷失在这暴雨里面的时候，我们的感觉就好像是我一直都会迷失在这里面。
But even the storm passes.
但是这雨是会过去的。
And then we realize, oh my gosh, I got caught in that storm again.
然后这会儿呢，我就会意识到，哦，我的天哪，我又被那个雨给卡在那儿了。
Yeah, and then the next time there's a storm, you may not get as lost.
那然后下次再下雨的时候呢，可能你就不会再那么的被迷失在里面。
Or even if you get lost, as soon as you realize you're lost, you're no longer lost.
所以就即便是你迷失在里面，但是呢，你只要意识到了自己的迷失，立刻也就回来了，就不会再处在迷失的状态。
And so, you know that everything passes except for the one who's watching it.
那所以说你就会发现其实所有的事情都是会过去的。除了那个一直在看着这一切的那个人他是不会过去的。
Or Prabhupada, he used to say that, spiritual life is like a baby learning to walk.
爸爸爸之前就会说呢，这个灵性生活就好像是一个在学步的婴儿。
Right. If the baby is learning to walk, it's understood that the baby is going to fall many times.
所以呢，一个在学走路的孩子，那我们肯定能知道这孩子肯定是会摔好多好多的跟头的。
What the baby just.Continues to get up and keeps trying to walk and gradually gets stronger and stronger.
但这个孩子呢，他就不断的会从摔倒地方爬起来，然后呢继续往前走，然后这样呢就会越来越坚强，变得越来越强大。
So that's just normal.
所以这是很正常的。
And then eventually the baby doesn't fall anymore until he gets old.
然后慢慢的呢，就这个小朋友他就不会在走路的时候摔跟头了，直到他变老以后才会再次摔跤。
Second childhood.
然后等这个小孩他变老了以后呢，他就要经历他的第二次童年。
Next question.
From Rasa Priya Madhaji, 顶拜 Guru, 您刚才说万事万物。多是至尊主的扩展，那是不是崇拜生物也算是崇拜至尊主？顶拜您 ，Gopacharan。Okay, well, this question is from Gopacharan Prabhu. Please accept my vulnerable obeisances. Just now, you mentioned that everything is an expansion from the Lord, the living entities. If we worship the living entities.That also a way of worship the Supreme Lord.
Not exactly.
不是的，不就不完不应该是完全这么理解。
We can honor and respect the living entities as parts of the Lord.
那我们可以尊重。这个生物体，它就是把这个生物体作为至尊主的一部分来尊重它。
But we can't say that they're exactly equal.
但是我们不能说它们完全是平等的。
Just like we can't say, just like when the sunshine comes in the window, you know, maybe it's really, really cold right in China right now, but if the sunlight comes in the window and it feels really warm and you get all cozy and it feels so good.
It's really cold here. 那么就比如说呢，现在中国特别特别冷，但是呢，当这个阳光从窗户上照进屋里的时候呢，这会儿你会觉得家里面很舒服，很温暖。
And you appreciate the sun ray that's coming in the window.
而且呢，你也会很欣赏、很感激从窗户射进来的阳光。
But you're also appreciating that the sun ray is coming from the sun.
但是呢，你也会感激太阳， 因为这个太阳光呢是从太阳出来的。
Otherwise, your understanding is not complete.
否则的话呢，你的这个理解它就不是完整的。
Yeah. So we can appreciate that everyone is an expansion of the Lord, but we can't forget the Lord. We have to include the Lord.
所以说呢，我们可以这个去感激欣赏，来自于主的这些扩展。但是与此同时，
yeah.
我们不能够忘记主，因为所有的一切都是来自于主的。
Yeah. So the sun ray cannot exist without the sun.
因为如果要是没有太阳的话，就不可能有阳光。
So no one, nothing exists without the Lord, that one independent source.
所以如果要是没有主的话，就是这位完全独立的源泉的话，是没有任何事物可以存在的。
Yeah. But we have to appreciate the whole tree, not just the leaves.
那所以说呢，我们要去欣赏整个的一棵大树，而不仅仅是树上的树叶。
So without the root, without the tree itself, the leaves wouldn't exist.
因为如果要是没有树根，没有树的话呢，光是树叶是不可能存在的。
Yeah, so we have to have the complete understanding. That's proper worship.
那所以呢，我们就必须要有完全的理解，这样才是恰当的崇拜。
Okay.
Yeah. The next question from Panchatattva Prabhu. 顶拜 Maharaj, 顶拜所有的奉献者，人们总是自以为是，不愿意接受好的指导，但十人九蹉跎，都走在错误的道路上，背道而驰。只有强而有力的圣人才能这些人，普通奉献者如何给这样的人传播 Krishna 知觉呢？Sorry, I need to digest the word. 人们总是以自以为是，不愿意接受好的指导，但十人九蹉跎，都走错误的路，背道而驰。只有强而有力的圣人才能。Okay. Panchatattva Prabhu's question is like, firstly, he paid his obeisances to you and to the devotees. And he's saying that people always have the kind of attitude that they think they know everything, and they don't feel like to accept any guidance from the others. However, many of the people suffered because of this, because they are walking on the wrong path. And only, and he said that only those kind of very powerful saint can preach to this type of people. But for a normal devotee, how to preach the Krishna consciousness to this type of people? Do you understand? I think Prabhu is trying to say that, you know, most of the people are very stubborn. They cannot really be preached by the common people. Only the very powerful saints can do it. But for the, you know, regular devotee, how to do the service of preaching? I think that's what basically what he meant.
Yeah, I think I understand.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Panchatattva Prabhu, for your question.
Panchatattva Prabhu, 非常感谢您的问题。
Well, you know, Krishna, he's very, he's very specific about this point of preaching.
那么 Krishna 呢，他其实对于传教这一点，他讲的是非常清楚的。
So we have to remember that you can only preach to those who are actually ready to hear.
那我们必须要记得，我们总是要向那些已经做好了准备去倾听的人去传教。
Yeah, so Krishna specifically told Arjuna, he said that this knowledge should never be explained to those who are not austere.
那 Krishna 他其实是很清楚地告诉 Arjuna 的，就这个知识不能够传递那些没有在进行苦行的人。
Let's just look.
Hare Krishna, 我听到你们了。